My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right. I know, that's what I was trying to fix, dog. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. And as you just heard on the intro, you're listening to the Insiders. We got another Kings-Warriors game. We'll just do it again. Why not? Season on the line for both teams. We went through everything we've gone through this year. We have had conversations about the Kings' present, the Kings' future, Harrison Barnes and Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox and Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk. And the conversation has gone on and around, and it has done the same in San Francisco, only to wind up here. Right back where we started last year. Finished last year? Right back where we finished last year. Golden State got 6 more games, but they didn't go their way. So ostensibly, these teams have gained no ground.
We are in just the running into each other. Same exact spot.
Time is a flat circle.
It is. I'm not quite sure like what to make of this game at all. Like I don't have a feel for it. And I know, you know, we had a podcast last night with Sean and Brendan on the Kings beat.
Yeah.
And I think we all kind of feel the same. Like, who knows what will happen tonight? Nobody knows. Nobody knows which team is going to show up, which team is going to be the dominant team that's physical and comes out and brings it. I mean, I could easily see this being a blowout either way.
Totally.
I could easily see this thing going down to the wire. And if that happens, the Kings are usually in trouble because the Warriors seem to get over on them in those situations.
Not the last couple.
But then again, yeah. I mean, they've played each other 4 times this season. 3 of the games are a 1-point game. It's wild.
They were decided by 11 combined points, the 4 games.
Yeah, it's
which
crazy.
By itself is an insanely small number in a 4-game sample size. And then you consider one of the games was decided by 8.
Mm.
With the other 3, like you just said, decided by 3 combined
points. 1-1-1. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm at, and we'll dive into some of the minutia and stuff, but that's just kind of where I'm landing when we talk about who's going to win? What does this game look like? I'm going to lean toward, it's going to be close. Just because these teams are, they're not the same. It's not like apples to apples. Like you can just line up the players and compare them and go, hey, these are the same team. But when you talk about just trajectory and you talk about maybe this player, that player being out or this player, that player being a little disappointing this year, Jesus, it's just all kind of the same. And it's like, sure, they're probably going to be close, may or may not be. I think it's going to be fun. But if you came down from the future from later in the week, from Thursday, and went, yeah, hey, one of the teams won by 20. Like, yeah, sure, why not? Like, what, the Warriors could lay down and lay an egg. The Kings could lay down and lay an egg. I wish I had a hard take on where I thought this game was going to go, but I genuinely have no idea because I trust neither of these teams.
No. No, I mean, we have one team that fully backed into the playoffs, mm-hmm. into the postseason. I don't want to call it playoffs. They're not in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But the Kings backed in. Like, they lost. What they go 4-6 over the last 10.
Sure.
They struggled. Although, I would make the argument that while they struggled, they didn't get blown out. There was a bunch of close games.
Yeah.
You know, three games that I think were impacted by what should be the two-minute report that, like, mm-hmm. you know, games. Mm-hmm. And, like, clearly the Boston game you could have won if Colby Jones would have been called, mm-hmm. Would have got the foul call. You know, and then the Shea travel slash offensive foul play where mm-hmm. he took six steps. Like, all of these plays that happen, like, here down the stretch. So I think the Kings haven't played particularly well,
mm-hmm.
but I also don't think that they're as bad as it feels. You know, like, this was not, they didn't lose a bunch of games by 25 points down the stretch and, oh, they're horrible and mm-hmm. why are they here?
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone in Sacramento is disappointed that they're the 9 and not, you know, the 7 or the 8 or even the 6.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like this team still has something to give and they're very confident. I mean, this feels like very similar to last season, like the vibe in the at practice yesterday, very similar. Like, they're, well, yeah, we're good. We're ready.
Mm.
Like, oh, okay. Like,
the vibe is not the same.
No.
It is very much not the same. I'm sure with the team, they're viewing this as, because look, they're professional athletes.
Yeah.
They don't view these games the same way we all do.
Of course not.
They don't, they are not looking at this and going, like, oh my God, the Warriors. I see a lot of dread from Kings fans.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people going, we know how this ends.
Yeah.
Like, I get, and I understand that. And I do. And I get that. But I promise that as the Kings are preparing for this game, They're not like, oh, we know how this goes. We can't, like, they've beaten this team. This is another game on their schedule. They're probably a little more amped up for it for sure. And you know, probably feeling a little more urgency than they do in a typical regular season game, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not living and dying on this game in the same way that we are as fans or as media or whatever it is. So I don't doubt the vibe at practice is the same, but the vibe with both teams is very different.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too because De'Aaron Fox said yesterday, he was asked a question, but he answered it with like an affirmative that this feels a little bit like NCAA, where you're going into a game, the tournament, where it's one and done and you got to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it's not like a game seven because a game seven is like back and forth, a build up, you know, like two teams that just keep playing each other again and again and again, and, mm-hmm. and you got to make all these little adjustments. This is one game.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting because these teams are two totally different groups than they were early in the season when they played all these times. And even January, they play one time in January, but all those early season games, you can just throw out the window. Like,
yeah,
you know, Trace Jackson Davis barely played, and Pajemski's had a much bigger role, and Keon Ellis is now a factor, mm-hmm. and Davion Mitchell is now a factor. And I just think that these teams are very, very different the way that they're built. Even Kuminga really came on throughout the season. And, you know, we have to see what he looks like in playoff time. But, the organic growth of a season.
To your point, the last time the Kings and Warriors played, bless you, the last time the Kings and Warriors played, Keon Ellis did not play.
Nope.
Alex Len, who's been playing 10, 12 minutes a night, did not play. For the Warriors, no Trace Jackson Davis. Brandon Pajemski did play 26 minutes. But Corey Joseph played 17 minutes in that game.
Whoa.
For Golden State. Dario Saric, out of the rotation, played 20 minutes in that game. Jonathan Kuminga played 30. He actually had a good game for them. But Draymond Green was coming off the bench. I think he just came back from suspension in that one.
Yeah, he had just come back.
Yeah. So.
And what about Looney?
Loon played 16 minutes, but he's started that game. He's not starting anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, these teams are very different.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We'll dive into that plenty, of course, but we had a little bit of Kings news come down last night from Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN. He reported that the Brooklyn Nets are set to sign Jordy Fernandez, Kings assistant coach, to be their head coach next season. Obviously, super happy for Jordy, but what does this mean for the Kings?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, Jordy will finish out whatever.
It's not like he's
here.
Not on the bench.
No, he's not leaving. He's not leaving. I think it's interesting because, you know, Jordy is one of a, you know, he's not just an assistant. He's the associate head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the defensive coordinator. Like, someone's going to get a promotion. Someone's going to step up into a role. Sure. Actually, I think probably two people get a promotion. One gets bumped up to, I don't think anyone will be the associate head coach, although I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think someone will get promoted to defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also someone from the back of the bench that's going to be promoted to the front of the bench. I don't think the Kings will go out and find somebody.
I was going to say, you think it'll all be internal?
Well, I mean, you're going to have to find somebody to replace at least, you know, whoever gets promoted. But I would say Luke Laux is probably moving to the front of the bench.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of like Luke is a guy who's had a big, big say in a lot of things the last couple of seasons. But also he's a guy who they trusted with the summer league roster.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's going to get bumped up. This could be a positive for Doug, but I don't know. I haven't talked sure. to him to kind of figure out what Doug Christie is going to be. Yeah, it's been a little bit busy. Yeah, so I think this is a great thing because this is a guy that Mike Brown found years ago,
mm-hmm.
and when he was with Cleveland, and he hired him, as like a young coach to train his son. And then he became like his personal assistant. And then he was so good at what he was doing, the Cavs came to Mike and said, "Hey, can we just hire Jordy onto the staff?" And Mike's like, "Well, go ahead and ask him. That's fine."
Yeah.
And so that's what they did. And, you know, Jordy went to coach 5-6 years with Michael Malone in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's been here for a couple of years. This is a natural progression and also shows that Mike Brown is developing his own coaching tree.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a big deal because he does have other players. Like, Luke Laux can be a head coach in the NBA, and mm-hmm. I expect him to be a head coach down the road in the NBA. And so, yeah, this is just natural progression of coaching and good for Jordy for getting a decent job that's out there, not like one of the bad jobs that are out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm fascinated by the Brooklyn Nets just in general.
Yeah.
They lost 50 games this year.
Yeah.
And I think a new coach could help because I think there's talent there. But, like, dude, they're under the Ben Simmons contract still.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they put too many eggs in the Mikal Bridges basket from a he can be a 1A type of guy standpoint. Cam Johnson has not developed the way I think they thought Cam Johnson was going to develop when they acquired him in the Kevin Durant trade. They're just, I feel like they are a little bit rudderless. But you'd rather go to a situation where, like, yeah, hey, you got Cam Johnson to work with. You've mm-hmm. got a Mikal Bridges to work with. Maybe Ben Simmons is healthy for a year and plays a lot of basketball, and you can figure that out. But yeah, it's much better than going to, like, Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
Way rather be in Brooklyn than Charlotte.
I wouldn't want the Charlotte job.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And look, Jordy's fiery. He's a defensive-minded guy. I was very surprised he didn't get the Toronto job last year. And I thought he was very deserving. And so this is just, again, this is a good thing for the Kings in general, for Mike Brown in general, where one of your coaches is getting elevated, and that, mm-hmm. that's a good thing.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we have a ton of NBA play-in stuff to get to tonight. Kings, Warriors, Golden 1 Center at 7 o'clock. Maybe you'll be at the game. Hopefully you'll be at the game. If not, hopefully you're down in Doko hanging out and enjoying the vibe. Can't wait for that. We will talk plenty of Kings, Warriors. We've got a look ahead to Lakers, Pelicans a little bit. And I don't think we're going to do any East stuff today. Sorry, guys. I'm nope. punting on the East.
All right.
Kings Warriors. We're talking about it all day here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Kings Warriors tonight, Golden 1 Center, the 9-10 play-in showdown. At the end of last season, when these two teams met in Game 7, epic game at Golden 1 Center to finish off the best series of the playoffs. Everybody looked at each other and went, you know what? These two teams are going to meet again in the 9-10 play-in game. It's exactly where both teams expected to be. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Taking a look ahead to what promises to be, I shouldn't say promises to be, an electric basketball game, because I've seen too many times with both the Warriors and the Kings this year where you go into a game and you're like, okay, this is the one. They're locked in now. And then,
Kyle, I'm not making any promises.
I've got nothing for it. I want so badly to be like, it's going to be awesome. Like, the vibe at Golden 1 is going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The vibe down in Doko is going to be amazing. Hopefully you're on your way out there. But as far as how the game's going to go, I don't know, man.
I have no idea.
The Warriors are playing better.
Yeah.
The Kings have been kind of up and down all year, but in the second half, I think have found an identity that they can rely on that should help them in a game like this.
Yeah.
But
they're a much better defensive team than they were last year.
They're way better.
Even way better than they were in the playoffs last season. And so I think that's been the goal the entire season, is to come into a playoff, whether it's a one game or it's a full-fledged series, mm-hmm. but ready to play NBA playoff defense.
Yeah.
And I think the Kings are very, very like ready to do that. But I'd also caution that the Warriors are right with the Kings as far as like defensive rating in the second half of the season, defensive rating for the season, offensive rating for the season. They're really
the same team, dude.
They're like mirror images.
The Warriors, offensive rating. We did this yesterday, but we'll do it again. 116.9 for Golden State, number 9 in the league. The Kings, 116.2, number 13 in the league. The Warriors, defensive rating, 114.5. The Kings, 114.4.
Beat them. Better just defensive team.
That's
it.
The lockdown defensive group. The Warriors, 15 in defensive rating. The Kings, number 14. The Warriors, a 2.4 net. The Kings, a 1.8 net. That's for the whole season.
Yeah, since the All-Star break, it's the same exact thing.
Post All-Star break. There you go. Got them right here.
Yes, me too.
Kings offensive rating, 115.3. Warriors, 115.0. Kings defensive rating, 110.9. Warriors, 110.5. Exact same net rating at 4.4.
Yep. Even Stevens. Yeah, I even went through and looked because, you know, we keep hearing, oh, well, the Warriors have won 10 out of 12.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, they're marching into the playoffs. And the Kings have not won 10 out of 12. They're 6-6 over their last 12. And I looked at who the two teams played, and I'm like, all right, come on now. The Warriors, they won 10 out of 12, but 6 of those wins are against non-playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have the drum roll that the Kings had to finish the season.
No.
And the Kings, you know, 2-5 over their last 7, but all 5 of those losses came to playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, you know, they've had a difficult stretch to finish the season. And none of those were like embarrassments. That none of them were blowouts except mm-hmm. for maybe a bad game against the Pelicans, which you always have a bad game against Pelicans.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you go look at Golden State since, let's just do March. When did they play the Knicks? March 18th. They lost to the Knicks by 7. They beat Memphis. They lose to the Pacers by 12. They lose at Minnesota by 4. But then beat Miami, beat Orlando, Charlotte, San Antonio, fine. They beat Dallas at home. They beat the Rockets in a game in Houston where Houston kind of fighting to get back into the play-in mix, but could not. They blew out the Rockets. But then they go lose to the Mavericks without Luka in Dallas.
Mm.
And that's just exactly where I don't have a ton of faith in this version of the Warriors. In the same way, the same thing goes for the Kings, but every time it felt like the Warriors, and they've been playing really well. They've won, what, 10 of 12?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a really, really good stretch of basketball, regardless of the opponents. But you go look at that Mavericks game. No Luka. You're going into Dallas as a team you just beat at home 2 days, 3 days before, 3 days before,
mm-hmm.
and they go lose that game. Find a way to lose it. And then they beat the Blazers, they beat Utah, the Lakers, and the Blazers, their next 3. Okay, they win 3 in a row. Now you get New Orleans. Hey, chance to fight, maybe to get into the, maybe to get to the 9, maybe host the 9-10. Hey, you can maybe reach up and get the 8. And they fall flat and lose to New Orleans 114-109 at home.
Mm.
They were terrible at home all year. I just don't, I don't trust them, man. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, we could basically play dueling banjos here. Like, you can say the same as, I don't trust the Kings.
No,
I don't. I think that they're trying their best, but mm-hmm. the Kings out. Like, I think if the Warriors play their A game, they're mm-hmm. going to be better. If the Kings play their A game and lose, and you're watching it unfold, and you're like, okay, they just miss
mm-hmm.
Malik Monk so much,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a possibility where I don't think the Warriors don't have that. Oh my gosh, if only, I mean, sure, Gary Payton II. If you had Gary Payton, you might have another body to throw at Fox, but let's be honest, he has not defended Fox well, so it doesn't really matter to me at all.
He's a wrinkle, not a star, the way Malik Monk is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Does this sound familiar? This one won't. The Warriors lost to the Celtics by 52 points.
Mm.
But then they go beat the Bucks in their next game by 35. And then, does this sound familiar? Lose to the Bulls at home.
Oh, wow.
Hmm. Then lose to the Spurs by a lot. But then come back and beat the Spurs by a lot. Lose to the Mavericks. Oh, beat the Lakers. Oh, lost to the Knicks. Oh, beat the Grizzlies. Like, that's just, that could be either the Kings or the Warriors.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we had that whole stretch where for like a 15-game stretch, the Kings 1-2, lost one, 1-2, yes. Lost one, 1-2, lost one, 1-2, lost one. You're like, what is happening?
Yeah, can you string some wins together?
Can you just put it together? And the answer is no.
Yeah, and that's
the answer.
That's where I think when we have established here that these two teams are very similar. So I think if you're projecting this game is, one, the Kings were not good at home this year. And the Warriors were very good on the road after being historically bad on the road last season.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what it comes down to, if you're just kind of on the outside looking in, you're going to go, well, the Warriors are just playing better right now. And that gives them maybe some kind of edge going into tonight. But we've also seen them play well in stretches this season and then go lose by 52 in Boston.
Yeah.
Fascinating matchup.
No, I think that this is exactly, you know, like the NBA put this on national TV multiple times early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody was like, oh no, we want to see more of it.
And they were all excellent games.
Yeah, but at this point, I think we're all like, we're so tired of the matchup that we can't even like really enjoy the fact that this should be like one hell of a game. It should. There's nothing to say it will be.
Sure.
But it could be like one.
Everything aligns to this
game
being a sensational basketball game.
Yeah.
But I think part of it is both teams and both fan bases and media on both sides know that, hey, for the longest time, the Kings and Warriors were never good at the same time.
Mm.
And now they're good at the same time. And we've got a playoff series. And now we get this play-in matchup. But also, it's not like, hey, both of these teams are just, they're going to clash for a decade because I think the Kings are going to look dramatically different next year.
No, this is two ships passing in the night.
The Warriors are going to look dramatically different next year.
Oh yeah, there's no question. This is two ships passing in the night.
Yeah.
Like, and whether the Kings like string together 8 or 10 playoff years in a row, we don't know that as of right now. Even right now, it looks like maybe they won't. Mm-hmm. We don't know. We have to see how they reload during the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also with the Warriors, it's unfortunate because you're watching like the tail end of a what was an incredible dynasty.
Yeah.
And this just, it doesn't have the same cachet as last season because we're watching a team that struggled through the regular season, but literally was the champs the year before.
Yeah, defending a title.
Versus a team that had like jumped up in the standings, won 18 more games than they had the previous year. We're playing way above their heads, get all the way up to the 3 seed. And, you know, so this feels different because of that. But still, like, I mean, Kyle, you and I talked about it before we got on the air. Like, if people don't think that the Kings took so much out of the Warriors, it was crazy in that series, you're just flat out wrong.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have anything left.
They had nothing.
And I don't know what the Kings would have had left if they had survived that series either.
Yeah.
Like, that series was like a war of attrition.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's why I think we're going to get a good game tonight and why I don't think we're going to see either team fall flat is because both teams might be looking at going, yeah, we're not winning a title. We're not, you know, Steph and De'Aaron are looking down their benches and going, this is not a team that's going to win a championship. But neither team badly wants to lose this game.
Oh, no.
They might lose in the next game, but neither one wants to be the one that loses this one.
No.
So I think we're going to get a good game. I think we're going to get a close game, like, because I guess 11 points separate these two teams in 4 games this year.
That's crazy.
Insane.
Do you have a matchup you want to see? We got so many.
My real one or my fake one?
Your fake one. Let's hear your fake one.
Andrew Wiggins v. Harrison Barnes.
That's right.
Genuinely, whichever of those players has a better game might just decide it.
Yeah.
If one of those players goes for 20, that team probably wins.
Isn't that crazy?
That's been the Warriors all year. Andrew Wiggins plays well. Oh, here come the dubs. Andrew Wiggins turns into Andrew Wiggins again. Oh, wait. Oof. ooh, is this team going to make the play-in?
Hey, man, look, Harrison Barnes just had an opportunity. You had your third leading scorer go down, and he goes out and has more turnovers than he did points, rebounds, and assists combined.
Oh, God.
And you're just sitting there looking like, what just happened?
Yeah. The Harrison Barnes v. Andrew Wiggins game. Get excited, everybody!
Spider-Man meme. Yeah.
No, it's De'Aaron against Steph. It's the two best players on the court. Mano a mano, playing the same position. I bet De'Aaron guards Steph at points tonight. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But I think we're going to get one-on-one matchups between those. I think at some point we'll get a stretch where they're going bucket for bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we joke about Harrison Barnes and Andrew Wiggins, and we can talk about, you know, Draymond Green or Klay Thompson or Keegan Murray or Domantas Sabonis or whoever you want to talk about. They're going to be important as well. But in a one-game situation, having the best player on the court may just be the difference. And I think one of these two guys is going to have to be the best player.
Yep.
Oh, Paul Pierce. Oh, well, what are we even talking about? If Paul Pierce picked the Warriors, then all right, who are the Kings going to play next?
This thing's over.
We'll talk about it. No, we got plenty of more play-in basketball talk coming up here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, long time NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I am Kyle. That guy over there is James. They are the Sacramento Kings, and they play basketball tonight at Golden 1 Center. Kings dubs. What are the odds? Like, if Prize Picks had a technical fouls thing, I'm slamming the more on Draymond Green getting a tech.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely getting one tonight.
Oh, he's going to hear it. He's going to get booed every single time he gets anywhere near the ball.
I can't. Player intro is going to be hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He might be the most hated non-former King that walks in the building.
Yeah, I'm not even sure it's close.
No, I don't think so.
Like non-former King, not somebody who's said F Sacramento or, you know, I hope they move to Seattle or whatever.
Yes, so we have like Spencer Hawes said. We have Spencer Hawes. We have Jason Terry, who randomly gets it because he, even though the Kings bought him out and he didn't even have to come to Sacramento, went on a Dallas radio station and talked trash about Sac after the fact, even though he never had to play a game. So he gets booed. Now we have Buddy Hield, who gets booed, and that's because he said something that, you know, we can't put out on the air about Sacramento. And yeah, so now, but Draymond Green is, he's the ultimate villain.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's that close.
No.
There's just no, the Kings have not had, I know it was Shaq for a while. And I'm sure, you know, Kobe Bryant was different because it was what he did on the court and just,
he just beat you every time.
Yeah. He was just impossible. And there was like a level of respect, but it's also like, God, I hate that guy. Like, oh my God, I hate that. But it's because he was so freaking good. And then there's, you know, talking strictly basketball stuff with him. I know that people have their issues with Kobe Bryant for other things, but in those playoff series with Sacramento, it was just like, God, this guy. But Shaq, you know, he's out there chirping and he's talking trash. But with Draymond, there hadn't been an opening for a basketball villain in Sacramento for a long time because it was like there was so much internal strife.
Oh, yeah.
There was enough
you
to
had
do
your
with
own villains.
Here that other players were just kind of, they were, okay, they're going to come through, they're going to play their game, and they're going to go home. Whereas last year, you got 7 games of this guy who has had this kind of problem essentially his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first dude. There was an opening for a villain in Sacramento, and Draymond kicked the door in the junk, and then off its hinges.
I would also tell
and then
you
choked out the door,
and then yeah, and then stomped it,
and then stomped on the door,
stomped on
and
the
then
door.
Stood on the scorer's table, giving double birds to the fans.
Oh yeah, yeah, in front of the commissioner,
in front of the commission.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up Kobe and. The thing that always stuck out to me is like we're talking about a player who doesn't have an off switch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can appreciate that. Like when I play sports, like throughout my life, I don't have an off switch. Like there aren't
sure.
Like I'm not playing tonight because I don't feel good or anything.
Yeah,
of that.
Yeah.
Like
just gonna go play, gonna go compete.
Exactly. So the 2010-2011 season, which was my first season covering the team, which almost became the last season of Kings basketball. Where they tried to abscond with the team and move to Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
The final game of the season, which is known for the Grant and Jerry sign-off, like
yes.
breaking down
yes.
and like
yes.
having this moment, right? And people forget in that game that the Kings came back from a monstrous deficit. They outscored the Lakers 18 in the fourth quarter to go to overtime. It was 29-11. And then it was Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant just one last time, knowing what was happening, knowing that the game meant nothing. It was the last game of the season for the Lakers. It didn't matter. Went out there and stomped him in the overtime just because that's who he was. And you're like, okay, like, all right.
You gotta respect it.
Again, the fourth quarter, 29-11, 8 of those points came from Kobe Bryant. Including, I think, a game-tying shot, like right before the buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
He just wouldn't let them have their moment, and it's just like that was him in a nutshell. Like
yeah.
it was always about business.
Right.
Well, you'll never get your moment while I'm here.
Right.
Yeah. Really, really interesting.
Right.
And then to see him,
I guess he did elbow Mike Bibby, but the issue there was more the non-call than the elbow.
That's it. It was a non-call.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was a knockdown, drag-out like battle. Like that, like nobody, I don't think you could walk away hating Robert Horry for hitting a shot.
Yeah.
You know, and then you had the bad
Robert,
blood.
Robert Horry didn't go stomp on Vlade's chest.
No.
there's just such a dramatic difference between like, man, that guy is really good at basketball. If Draymond Green last year had come into that series and maybe talked some trash, but no physical stuff, maybe he gets a T for yapping at a ref, but... None of the weird physical stuff, and he just goes and averages a triple-double and has a couple blocks a game. then people are going to be like, dang, hate that guy, but man, he's not going to get booed mercilessly every time he touches the ball tonight.
Yeah.
Like he will tonight. So.
Every time he touches a ball. Yeah. Like he,
as he should.
He is.
That's why he's getting attacked tonight. Like I'm telling you, he's getting attacked.
Okay.
Like for sure.
Man, could you imagine if he gets tossed and we have another one of those emotional moments?
If he gets tossed, I was going to save this for later because I want to focus more on the Kings than the Warriors. But
okay.
But there's a chance that tonight is the last Warriors Big Three game.
Oh, I would agree.
Steph, Clay, Draymond, that trio,
mm-hmm.
been together for a decade. This could be their last game together. And I think Clay, unrestricted free agent. I don't know what his value is to the Warriors financially and what they're going to offer him, but I'm guessing there's some team out there that's looking and going, hey, he shot 41% from three in the second half, and he played 77 games this year, and he knows how to win. He's a culture guy, and we can get him in here and help our young team. There might be a team that's just willing to pay more than the Warriors for that, and he may be gone. I already think that Draymond is a little bit on thin ice, particularly when you saw Steph react the way he did, if you missed it, when Draymond Green got ejected on the second night of a back-to-back on the road with Jonathan Kuminga out for Golden State. He got ejected like less than 2 minutes into the game. And Steph Curry kind of lost his emotions on the court. You could see him crying on the court.
Yeah, tearing up.
Frustration.
Yeah.
And the reason Draymond's still around is because of Steph. Steph wants Draymond around. So I think if he gets ejected tonight in this game, I don't think he comes back. I think right now, as of right now, I think he's coming back to Golden State.
Okay.
But I think if he gets ejected in this spot, I think that's where you have Steph going to Joe Lacob, Steve Kerr, Mike Dunleavy, whoever, and going, get him out. I don't care if it's, you got to attach picks.
Yeah.
Get him out.
Yeah.
I'm done with this.
I wouldn't doubt it. I don't know that there's a lot of takers out there for a guy like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we say that, but there always is. Like, again, his impact on the court is not as strong as it was in past years. And so basically you're having this situation where, you know, like you have to weigh his talent versus what you'll put up with.
Yeah.
And I think he has long since outstayed his welcome.
The hot crazy scale?
Yeah, the hot crazy scale. Yeah, he is. He's definitely like violated the hot crazy scale. And at this time, like, I don't know what you do, like, because you need to move forward. And like, look, I could even see them like moving on from him so they could keep Clay. Because you can't keep both of them, I don't think. Yeah. I mean, you can, but you're going to have to pay like the luxury tax bill. It's just crazy.
It's going to be nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can. Like I said, I don't want to dive deep into the Warriors financial stuff. But if they lose in the play-in game, you're going to see some pretty sizable changes because Joe Lacob's not going to want to pay for that roster anymore.
No, not at all.
And if Draymond gets ejected,
I
don't think he's back.
Yeah.
That's all. So let's talk about what's at stake tonight for the Kings. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320. We've also got $500 to give away.
$500, Kyle.
Yeah, yeah. I was, our winner from yesterday.
Oh?
Was Matt K.
Oh.
Shout out to Matt K.
Matt K.
Matt K.
Do we know where he's at?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Let me check. I'll reopen this email because that's kind of how we do things.
You process things.
Matt K in Sacramento.
Oh, okay. So he's a Sacramentan.
Just a Sacramentite.
A Sacramentite.
Sacramentian. Sacramentans.
Sacramentans.
Yeah, no, Matt K in Sacramento was our winner of the $500 from yesterday. We will give you another keyword in the 11 o'clock hour. Not right now,
mm-hmm.
but coming up, we'll give you another keyword that you will enter at ESPN1320.com. You're going to enter that keyword, and you will be entered to win 500 smackaroos. I did get confirmation. You got confirmation, and then I went and also got confirmation.
Double confirmation.
Double confirmation, double secret confirmation that you get two chances to enter. You don't need both keywords to enter. So we will give you a keyword at some point in the 11 o'clock hour.
Yep.
D'Lo and KC will also give you a keyword, and you can then go enter again. at ESPN1320.com.
Two times.
Putting two names in the hat for
that's right
for a chance to win $500. So, and again, this is not just if you're listening on the radio or not if you're just if you're watching on the stream or not just if you're listening on the app. So if you go back and if you missed it, and if you're like, man, I can't be watching the 11 o'clock hour, you can jump back on YouTube and just go rewind and find the word.
Yep.
Or you can do the same thing on the Odyssey app. You can rewind and find the word. Or we'll throw the podcast up and go to the podcast, find the word.
Okay.
The James Hammond Kyle Madsen Show, by the way, is the podcast. Wherever you get your pods.
Spectacular.
Don't ask us why it's not called The Insiders. Yep. What were you laughing at?
I was laughing because someone in the chat put that Matt K is actually Matt George. Rhymes with Matt George.
Yeah. That's how we're paying our contributors and our admins.
There it is.
Is by rigging a contest.
No, that's super not easy what we're to doing. Do. That's not what we're doing.
Of course not.
No.
Of course not.
Everything goes to legal here.
Yeah. Like to the point that we have literal words for money that we're not allowed to say.
We cannot say specific words.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a list. Yeah.
Right. So we'll have that keyword coming up in 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
Sometime in the 11 o'clock hour. I don't know. You got to listen. So let's talk about what's at stake tonight for the Kings. So it's pretty easy. If they lose, they're out. And I want to dig into that a little bit in a sec. But what's funny is if they win, they have the two most opposite opponents in the universe.
Ever.
You have the Lakers, who they stuffed in a locker four times this year.
Yep.
Or the Pelicans, who stuffed them in a locker five times this year.
Yeah, you got a team that literally Anthony Davis has, like, it's a well-known stat because everyone keeps making nice graphics to put out on the interwebs. Mm. That Anthony Davis is 0-10 in his career against Domantas Sabonis.
Yep.
That, I mean, it's facts.
Yes.
It is what it is.
Yes.
So you have either the Lakers or you have the Pelicans, who just beat the living tar out of the Kings every single time they play them.
Every time.
I don't even think it's really all that close. Like, you get in, like, you think you shut off one faucet, and then all of a sudden CJ McCollum decides to go nitro from 32 feet, and you're, what is happening?
Yeah.
And as soon as you try to shut that off, then Zion just runs over everybody and goes to his left and scores with the little layup. And then you stop him, and Brandon Ingram just rises up over the top. Yeah. And then just once you think you have him done, like, stopped, then some other rando.
Herb Jones, Trey Murphy.
Jonas Valanciunas.
Sure.
Somebody.
Jose Alvarado.
Rips you.
Why not?
And so, like, the Kings, for whatever reason, and this is a team that's two games better than you in the standings. It's not like they're some world beater. They lose to everybody else.
Yeah.
They just beat you.
Yes. They're just a bad matchup.
It's a bad matchup.
Yeah.
Just like I think the Kings are a bad matchup for the Lakers.
So every Kings fan today at 4:30 should be rooting their tails off for the Pelicans.
Yeah. Go Pelicans.
You know, winner of the 7-8 becomes the 7 seed. Loser plays the winner in the 9-10.
I think Kings fans would have been so much happier if it was a Phoenix Suns Los Angeles Lakers matchup.
Oh, not even close.
Yeah.
Not even the Pelicans losing to the Lakers in the final game of the season was a big deal. And getting blown out just did not play well whatsoever. I think it's, I know we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I thought it was like a one-off weird thing that somebody said. No, this is an actual discussion point on multiple shows.
Yeah, all over.
On the radio, on a podcast,
yep.
on the mothership, ESPN. Like, hey, should the Lakers shoot for the 8 seed to avoid playing the Denver Nuggets?
Mm.
And Doc, I saw it on Twitter yesterday and thought it was just a silly internet thing that I wanted to address. But this is a real thing that people who make real money at this job are talking about. As though the Lakers are a shoe-in to win if they lose to the Pelicans, well then obviously they're going to be. They went 1-7 against the Kings and Warriors this year.
They're 1-7 against the Kings over the last two seasons.
Over the last two seasons, they've just gotten throttled by the Kings.
Yes.
Why would you want to play? Why would you?
Now,
I did
bring this up yesterday when on D'Lo and Casey, Drew Down is pointing out. I did bring it up, like, hey, I think there are going to be people out there like, hey, the easier path. And not only that, but the easier path, if you somehow do, I think people are looking at the eight and saying, hey, I probably would rather be the eight. But to get to the eight is very difficult. Like if you're the Warriors or Kings and you're like, okay, we're okay being the eighth. That's okay. Because you got to win two to get there.
Right. That's way different. That is so much different than like, hey, we're going to smoke this game that would guarantee us a playoff spot if we won. We're going to smoke that game to give us a one game chance to win and be the eighth seed just to avoid Denver. We'd rather chance missing the playoffs than make the playoffs to play Denver. I understand the notion of, hey, would you rather be the 7 or 8 seed? I totally understand that. Because I don't think there's a team in the league that would rather play Denver than Oklahoma City. No disrespect to Oklahoma City. That's the other thing, is I think Oklahoma City is good. I think they're going to be hard to beat.
Yes.
Now, the playoff experience factor, I know that comes into play. I totally get it. But it's not like they're bad. So I get the notion of, would you rather be the 7 or 8? You'd rather play OKC if that's your choice between them and Denver.
Yes.
But you're not losing a game on purpose to go play in a game that you then have to win just to make the playoffs.
No.
It is ridiculous how much airtime that got yesterday as a very serious thing that serious people who talk about basketball were like, yeah, hey, maybe we see, I don't know, should AD just rest this one?
Oh.
Man, what? If he can play, you play. What so are you talking about?
He should rest because he's going to get battered against Sabonis on Friday.
He
can still put up big numbers and everything else.
I was flummoxed by that.
Well, I mean, I think if you're looking at OKC, you're looking at OKC in the same way that so many people looked at the Sacramento Kings last year. They're like way, way above where anyone expected. You know, the Kings jump all the way to the third seed. And, you know, now all of a sudden you're playing, you know, teams are scrambling to get to six because you're looking at the Kings like, hey, they haven't been there before. They're fun. They score a bunch of points, but they haven't been there before and they don't know that playoffs are different. Sure. The defense is different and all that stuff. OKC is not a 48-win Sacramento Kings team. This is a 57-25 team.
Right, and they were in the play-in last year, by the way.
Yeah, they don't have experience, but they have so much talent.
They are really good.
It's really crazy.
They are really good.
Yeah, they have so much talent. They still have like a whole stack, like a wheelbarrow full of first round picks.
Mm-hmm.
Like
nothing's guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed.
No.
The Thunder in 3 years might just be a back end of the play-in team. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they are set up when you look over the next 5, 10, 12 years to be dominant for a long time. And they took a huge leap this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then everyone out there who keeps saying, oh, well, the Kings need to go get Mikal Bridges. You don't think Mikal Bridges would look good in OKC jersey? And you don't think that they have way more to offer than the Kings do? Not only do they have young talent that they can offer, they've got boatloads. Like, literally just, like, deliver, like, an envelope filled just with first-round picks.
Take your pick.
Here's your first-round picks. Yeah. We gave you 5. We gave you 6.
They roll out a scroll. It's like in a cartoon where the scroll just goes and goes.
Kyle, yes. They have so many first-round picks that they keep drafting players and then 2 years later having to cut first-round picks because they're not good enough to make the stack of first-round picks that they already have. Like, their whole team is first-round picks. Except for Lou Dort, who's spectacular.
Who's fantastic. Love Lou Dort. His development has been awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Drew Down, it was not Mike Greenberg. Mike Greenberg was not the content that I was consuming yesterday.
Mm.
But maybe Mike Greenberg also talked about it.
No, it's very possible. Me. Yeah.
Yeah. John Boyle in the YouTube chat. Again, if you want to hang out with us, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Jump in the chatty house. It's been kind of weird today, but I don't know. It seems like we're settling down.
Well, I blame John Boyle.
I mean, it's weird every day, but it's a little more weird today, but that's how we like it. You're going to blame John?
Well, John was part of the weirdness in the chatty house.
I'm so in. John, clean it up. No, he said, if a coach told me to lose on purpose, I'd walk off the court. And that's just it, dude. Do you think the Lakers are very, or the Pelicans, maybe the Pelicans too, want to avoid the Nuggets. Do you really think that these two teams are sitting there in their locker room at shoot around or at practice yesterday or whatever they're doing and going, hey guys, so what we're going to do is,
here's the plan.
We're going to smoke this game on purpose. Here, Brandon, You're gonna have a hamstring early in the first quarter. Zion, shoot a lot of threes. You're gonna pull that out of your bag.
Shoot the three.
CJ, turnovers, baby. Turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. Like, that's just, it's, these dudes are, the Lakers are not sitting there. Again, like we talked about at the top of the show, professional athletes do not view these games the same way we do.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers are not sitting there going into tonight going, oh, dang, that's Denver waiting? Like, we can't beat them.
No.
And I'm sure that human nature sets in a little bit, and maybe guys in the front office or the coaching staff have mentioned, like, God, it's a tough matchup. But nobody's trying to lose this game tonight.
No.
Zero people are trying to lose.
No. I totally agree. And, you know, like we were talking about Survivor earlier, there's always, almost every season, there's someone who goes, hey, maybe we should throw this challenge so we can get rid of somebody. That person who says that almost always goes home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what you're faced with. Like, you do something stupid. You know, Mike Brown talks about this all the time. The basketball gods. You do something stupid and violate the basketball gods, like, it's going to come back tenfold. Mm-hmm. Like, again, the Pelicans do this, almost guarantee that Brandon Ingram re-aggravates his injury, and that Zion trips over like a banana peel, and next thing you know, he's out. He's out 4 to 6 weeks.
Sure.
I mean, that's what, like, you don't want to ever
from
test
all the
first basketball
that's
gods.
Late about the court.
Well, it is Zion. It is Zion. You know, it's very likely these things could happen to him.
I have a quick question. We talked about the Kings possibly moving up to 12th in the draft. Wouldn't 13 be as high as they could get?
I don't know.
Because Houston was 12.
Houston is 12 right now?
Didn't make the play-in, yeah. Although, shocker, that pick goes to OKC. If you can believe that.
Yeah.
So Houston's 12 right now.
I'm going to have to look because there's a possibility. I mean, like, of the final, the play-in teams, two teams don't make it on each mm-hmm. division. So, I mean, each conference, right? So you're going to have those teams that are sliding into the 14th and the 13th and the mm-hmm. 12 and the 11th. Am I wrong?
I don't know. We can look at it at the break. We got to go here in a second. I want to talk about, though, what happens if the Kings lose tonight. Because I'm not 100% sure that there's a huge difference for me with Sacramento and how I feel about them, whether they win or whether they lose.
Mm.
And we'll tell you why next. We're also going to give away $500 in the next, or I'm sorry, we're not, we are not giving it away. We're going to give you an opportunity to win $500.
Better. That's better.
Yeah, yeah.
Better
thanks.
Phrasing.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, and 1. We're also going to give you an opportunity to enter to win $500 in the next segment as well. Tons of Warriors Kings play in tonight. We've got, that's what we're doing in the second hour. Stay locked in on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.